Good morning. Good morning and blessings on you. It's good to be together this morning. Father, we welcome you into this place. We welcome you not just into this place, but we welcome you into the fullness of our awareness of you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. And we open our hearts to be receptive to you. We delight in who you are. We come and desire to meet with you and to worship you, to be changed by you, to glorify you. We love you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Wanted to read them in this moment. You have heard by my prophets that the season of birthing is coming upon the land. Birthing of my promises, birthing of my plan for my creation. As my people who are called by my name take their place, I'm burning off the old and creating the new. Many of you needed correction, cleansing, and purifying. Hearts were hard, thoughts impure, motivations wrong. Sin, disobedience, and self-will were stripped off of you. It's you, my bride, that I'm giving birth to, my righteous bride. Are you so shaken as to believe that all of this was done in error? No. My righteous bride emerges from the ash heap of false doctrine, false thinking, man-made religion, far from my heart. Do you not know that my word says that their lips praise my name and worship me, but their hearts are far removed from me? I'm granting you greater discernment in this season to recognize wheat from chaff. You receive laser focus to bring about real change to the church my way. You're all tried by fire, each having their own issues to contend with. Each were brought to exposure, not for embarrassment, but for correction and for repentance, for change right through your DNA. Know me. This is who I am. This is who you are. I'm yours and you are mine. There are some of you that are not yet through the whole process. Examine your hearts. Lean into me. Yield to the change, even if it means changing how you thought in the past. Let go of what you thought you knew. Let me bring you through and finish the process. Open up your heart so that I can change you. This new season is full, pregnant with promises to be birthed. New growth, new life, new freedom, new assignments, new ministry, new friendships have stirred the still, stagnant waters. Church as usual has ended. The new begins with or without you. That's your choice. Then there's also this word, by their afflictions I have caused their hearts to turn back towards me, that I may finish the works in them that I have set in my heart to do. When I listen into this song, it sounds to me like the same sense of drawing us into, you know, life's not easy. things are difficult, but God is calling us in, and He's allowing difficulty for our good, for our cleansing, for our purification, for our growth, for our promotion. He's good in it. And our response needs to be what this song is saying.
Keith, did you want to add something related to this? Yeah, go ahead.
Great. Just before George started reading that, I heard the Lord say, renew your vision. The time that we're in, we need to have a refreshed vision from Him. I know for myself, I've spent time looking at the circumstances that are going on around me, and it has pulled me outside of the vision that God has shown me before. He's saying, refresh your vision, put your eyes on me, and see that which I see. Have your mind renewed and begin to walk in the way that I have placed before you. The scriptures say that without a vision, the people perish. The Lord said, you will perish from where you are if you do not renew your vision. If you do not move forward and continue to stand still, you do not remain in the place that you're in, but you will move backwards. Fix your eyes on me. It's basically what that song's about that we were just singing, was secret place. And that's where He wants us. So my sense is that take your eyes off what's going on around you and focus on Him. Allow Him to renew your vision. Allow Him to clear your eyes. Allow Him to remove any veil that the enemy has placed in front of you and see things for how they truly are.
One of the things that the Lord just had me do this last week, actually it was yesterday, was to look at vision, to look at the vision that CLF has had, and really to own it and to agree again to it. And I thought I put it in my notes somewhere, and maybe I did and maybe I didn't. Oh, I can just tell it to you off the top of my head. Yeah. Thank you. There's another piece of paper. I was going to tell it to you off the top of my head, but instead I'll tell it to you off the top of this piece of paper. What is CLF about? Who are we? What are we about? What's our purpose? Well, I see four major headings, and I'm not saying that this is final or anything like that. This is just as the Lord was talking to me. Number one, and these are not in order of precedence or importance. They're just in a reasonably random order. Number one, we are about directly touching the community, and we do that. We do that through the food pantry and through related ministries. Almost every week we get in furniture and we put it out. Almost every week we put out food. Some weeks we put out a ton of food, or actually quite a few tons of food. So that's one thing. We also, Dad and I particular, do things like weddings and funerals, and we just a few weeks ago we had a shower. We have various other ways that we just serve the community, and you don't necessarily see that because things just happen behind the scenes. I did a funeral a month ago or something. I don't remember when exactly, 2 months maybe ago. And nobody knows about it. Dad and mom didn't even show up to it. It was just me. But we serve the community. We reach and directly touch the community. That's number one. Number two is we directly impact the regional church. Many of you are aware that Dad and I have times where we meet with pastors, and there's several groups of pastors that we meet with and minister to and just pour into them to pour into the church. And so that's something that is what CLF is about. In addition, Dad will sometimes go and preach just, I think it was last weekend, but maybe it was the weekend before. He went up to Fulton and preached just to touch the regional church. Occasionally I'll go off preaching around the area. Number three, training people to impact their world as children of God. Now that's us. That's us. When we're together, our purpose is to connect with Father so that we are changed and healed and shifted, so that we then have the capacity to touch people in our world, each of us in our unique ways. And so, and one of the key aspects of our vision as a body is that each one of us has our own piece of unique vision given to us specifically by God for his purposes in the specific region that we're in, wherever Lee lives and works and where Lee goes grocery shopping and where Lee touches his family and other things. The vision for Lee. That's one of the key aspects of what CLF is about. And then fourth, we also do reach further through missions. We give and we go. And as most of you know, we have the Living Love Ministries that is working over in Africa now. That continues apace, you guys, just FYI. Just hundreds of teachers and pastors are being touched, who are touching literally thousands and thousands already. Thousands and thousands of children are being ministered to in a refreshed, in a fresh, different way. This is who we are. So the Lord is calling us through the prophet over here to renew our vision. The Lord is calling us to be aware again of the callings that are on our lives. This is who we are. This is who we are as a church. This is who we are as individuals. Now, it's easy for us to be distracted from the vision that God has called each of us to be, because life's hard and there's difficult things. And so that's why probably one of the most significant aspects that we ever do here is we say, look to the Lord. We say, keep your eyes on him. Why? Because that's where you get vision. That's where you get instruction, day-to-day, moment-to-moment instruction. That's where you get vision. I mean, let's face it, it's not just about, it clearly isn't about just a corporate vision. It's a corporate vision that encompasses many individual visions, because God deals with us as individuals and he's blessed us together as a corporate body. So I wanted to go back. Dad, do you have something else you guys want to say? Not yet. So I wanted to go back to that song and just in the context of recognizing that God is doing good things in us through the difficulties of our lives, and in the context of renewed vision, I'd like us to say, wrap me in your arms all over again. And so I wonder if we could sing that song again.
Yeah. that's where I belong. Take me to that place, Lord, to the secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. There is a God who loves me. Wraps me in his arms.
Lee has brought to us a concern that we just would put before you and ask you to consider. He speaks of, he believes the Lord is saying, areas of pride that need to be repented of. And I'd like you to just acknowledge one thing before we go any further with that. Pride is something we all have. The minute we think we know something and God comes along and nudges us and we say, yeah, but I already know. pride is at the root of that. And so the item that the Lord was putting his finger on is when the Lord shows you something that needs to be addressed, don't say later or, oh, yeah, nobody's perfect. Say, oh. Here's one time when you can say the OMG. You can say, oh my God, be merciful. You can start right there. And I'm not talking about spending hours of sackcloth and ashes. I'm just saying when the Lord puts his finger on something, don't brush it aside. Grab it and say, thank you, Lord. And turn your heart toward him in regards to that thing. And when you get done with that thing, don't think you've got it all done. All you did is get done with that thing. You bring it to him. He said, yep, you got it. And now it's his job to finish the purging, the cleansing, and take care of things. So this item called pride, don't brush it aside. Embrace the purposes of God as he puts his finger on something. Whatever it is, when he puts his finger on it, say, yes, Father, forgive me and take it away. I want you to recognize something that is absolutely necessary to recognize. To be purified requires the fingers of God. You don't purify yourself. You can't fix yourself. You need the fingers of God to be at work in your life. So when he puts his finger on something, you say, yes, sir. Have your way. Root that out. Take it away. And make me whole. So, Father, here we are this morning as we face these things, and we invite you to indeed deal with the particulars in our lives as it relates to pride. The things that we think we know, the plans that we've put in place, any and every time we think we know better than you do. How silly. And so this morning we do turn. As you put your finger on, we turn aside and look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you have more in the way of worship this morning, are you done? Okay. All right, one more song.
Just like that river. It's good to have a river that comes and cleans and heals and changes, washes our sins away. That's good. Oh, somebody must know that it's one of my favorite games, Boggle. Ooh. Where that came from.
It's off.
Just a reminder that there's a food pantry this week, Thursday. And also you might notice that there's a golden tray on the front there. Actually, it's felt like that it would be appropriate to, as a regular thing, receive special gifts for the needy in the coming days. And I just would recognize something that has occurred in our fellowship. Over the years, we have been a very generous church in terms of meeting the needs of the needy. And literally thousands of dollars were given away through the church for needy people over the years. In recent days, there has not been the abundance that has been there in the past. And the ministry goes on, which is an amazing thing, generally not known, but I'm going to say, without exaggeration, literally thousands of dollars go out from individuals to the needs of the community and out of this fellowship. It's amazing. It is amazing. The ministry is ongoing. Nevertheless, it is appropriate that the church be involved as a corporate entity, as well as the personal ministry that goes on to various individuals. So I want you to recognize that it's right that, and it's ongoing, the ministry of CLF going into the area. Literally thousands, and I say that in plural, thousands of dollars going into the community from individuals rather than so much through the church. So just be aware that there's a need to refurbish our ministry through the church, but it has not stopped. It just has changed the way it's been approached over the last, well, we could say year or something in that order of time. I'd like to just add one other thing. Are you ready?
No.
Just one other thing that I would like to point out. Last week we talked about the love of God, and the very nature of God is love. And we talked about the reality that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You remember all that? You remember all that, right? Nod, like you're going to sleep. Okay. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There is not a kink in God's end of the hose. Remember that. The flow of love, the very nature of God, is not hindered by anything God does or doesn't do. The flow of love is freely flowing. The hindrance is on our end of the flow. The hindrance is what Jesus basically said in terms of what it is to be a disciple. He said, if anyone would be my disciple or would follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so the denying of self almost exclusively, or repeatedly, certainly very repeatedly, has to do with, but I thought, or I don't want to, or it will cost me, or something. In other words, the desire that God has done is to release love through you into something, and you won't deny yourself. And so the flood of love is hindered, not because God shut it off, but because we shut it off. The flood of love is, but I don't want to, or I don't feel like, or I don't think, or I wish. And so we shut off the flow of God's love. And so I want you to recognize something, that when the nudge of God comes and says, smile at that person, you might think, well, what's that got to do with anything? If it's a nudge of God, it's a nudge of love. And if it's a nudge of love, it's the flow of his love. And it's not that he is lacking enough love to smile at that person. He's just looking for a face to use. And if he says, give that person a pat on the back, the love of God wants to pat him on the back. And if it's to reach out with even words or instructions, the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It's no lack there. The lack comes with whether or not I will respond to the nudge of God and release the love of God into that specific occasion and situation. So that's a rehash of last Sunday's message, but I feel like it is something that we need to keep focused on. When we finished the message last week, we said, okay, now go do the stuff, and we go out, and I'm going to tell you for sure, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. He will have been faithful to do his thing. Were you faithful to do your thing? To take the nudge of God and release the love of God into the lives of those around you. That's the essence of Christianity. Okay, George, back to you.
I want to talk to you today about a number of things. It's very much in the flow of what we've been hearing already and what we've been experiencing in our lives. But I want to start with just a discussion. I feel a little hot. Can you turn me down just a tad? I want to talk a little bit about the intersection of time and eternity. You guys all have been with me long enough to recognize that these are two different axes. They're not the same thing. Time, a whole lot of time, does not make up eternity. Eternity is something completely separate from, that encompasses all of time. Time has a beginning and an end. Eternity is a different realm that we are invited to live in and understand through. When time and eternity intersect, most obviously, there's some funny things that happen. Very typically, when time and eternity intersect, there's some very upside-down aspects to it. When time and eternity intersect, very often, the very thing that looks like isn't happening is happening. Okay? When time and eternity most dramatically intersect, there's often a shift between what is seen and what is real. You can easily see this in the example of Jesus. When Jesus was released to the earth, when he was placed inside a woman by the work of the Holy Spirit, and when he was about to be born, things went from glorious, there's this angel talking to Mary, to really, really, really difficult and hard, where everybody rejected her. Her fiancé just about rejected her. It was close. He doesn't reject her, that's good. But then, rather than even being in their home, here she is, big pregnant, she gets sent off on a trip. I don't know about you, but pregnancy, you want, at the end of your pregnancy, you want everything to be just about as perfect as it can be. You don't really want to, you know, be on the road to some place where you don't know, where there's a whole bunch of crowds and there isn't anybody waiting for you. And in the end, you get a dirty stall that you manage to find yourself in, and because nobody's even really willing to help you, despite the fact that you're big pregnant, but the place is just crowded with strangers and ridiculous, and there's no glory here at all, right? You end up laying down not in a beautiful place, but in a feeding trough. No glory. Or maybe there was glory. You see, when time and eternity intersect, often you see things that are upside down. Most people would have seen the dirt smudges on the wrappings of the Christ child. Okay, most people would have noted the chill of the air after Mary gave birth, that in her shiver. Okay, most people would have noted the difficulties and the ugly, but there were some that saw some different things. You know, there was the shepherds who peeked into the eternal realm somehow and saw the angelic, and instead of absolutely anti-glorious, which is what you could see with your naked eyeball, it was glory to God in the highest. So there was a very strong inversion. There was another set of people, the Magi. You know, a lot of times smart people screw up. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but they get all arrogant and they think that they know stuff and whatever. Most of the smart people of Jesus' day really totally did screw up, okay? Some of the smart people couldn't figure out much. Some of the smart people figured out enough to say, well, I'm going to try to kill this guy. You know, there were some really smart people and they screwed up. But there were a few smart people with the humility to see and understand something to receive. They saw what was unseen. The Magi had an opportunity, and they did. They participated in the glory of the event. But you have to see it right. You can't see it wrong, because if you see it wrong, it's easy to see it wrong. Bah, that's easy. Let's look at the death of Christ. The death of Christ, you know, he's had, you know, a reasonably successful ministry. Lots of healings, lots of, you know, great stuff. Confounding the wisdom of the wise. Wow. Sometimes, you know, they try to stone him or they try to throw him off a cliff and they just somehow manage to, whoop, can't get it done. Who knows why? Who knows how? Zing, off he runs. But this time it doesn't look like that. They've got him. They've got him. They got Rome to put a guard around him. It's not looking good. The crowds that were singing Hosanna are now saying, crucify him. He's rejected by most people. Abandoned. Then he's brutally beaten. This is what you see with your naked eyeballs. He's mocked by man, mocked by demon. And then In the end, he's severed from all. Everyone. Even the Father. Wow. Looks pretty bad, looks pretty ill, but you know, the reality is that the opposite is true in eternity. And those that could potentially have seen the glorious thing, this was the ultimate instance in all of time for eternity and time to interact. Okay, this was the very crux, the highest, most glorious intersection where the very worst of everything was coupled with the very best of everything. The worst of everything in time, the very best of everything in eternity. The most glorious was happening. The prophets had foreseen it. He was loved by his Father throughout, even though apparently at the end he wasn't with him. But he was sacrificed for the many. In both of these cases, transcendence intersected with time. The eternal love of God was demonstrated in a significant way. I'm going to just tell you, the same is actually fairly much true in your life. You can go along and eat 3 square meals a day and get 8 hours of sleep at night and drive to and from wherever you got to get to and live along. And eternity is out there somewhere, and time is just kind of going by. But I'll tell you this, when eternity and time intersect in your life, when there's a God event, almost always there's going to be 2 views on it. Almost always there's going to be a not a very pretty side of it. There's going to be a pretty ugly side of it, which is easily observed. And then a reality. A God glorious reality of what he is accomplishing and what he is doing. There's time and there's eternity. And very often when they intersect, they're obviously upside down with respect to each other. Now there are those that can see, and those that can see will sometimes see beyond the obvious and into the truth of the reality of the glory of God. But not everyone can see, and not always can you see that much about what's going on. Sometimes it's really hard to see. Sometimes the temptation is to give up all hope. Anybody ever felt tempted in that arena? Absolutely. My mom teaches a beautiful set of teachings. When there's a temptation to stop believing, to fear or to be anxious, to be overwhelmed by the enemy, to give up hope, she says, you have 2 options. You have 2 options, Mom.
Yes. This is the first one. It's in Jeremiah 18:12. It's really not mine. It's in the book. They will say, it's hopeless. And we felt that. That's what we were just saying. It goes on to say, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Whoops. That's one thing you can do with hopelessness. That's the thing you're tempted to do, I think. But there's another choice, and it's in Lamentations 3. And the early part of the chapter describes the reason this person is hopeless, and he takes 18 verses to say how bad life is, and life is bad. You can read it yourself, but I'm not going to read it to you. But in the end of the 18 verses, he says, so I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Same spot. He's hopeless, right? But this guy turns in a different direction, and this is what he says. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. There are two places to go with hopelessness. One's to the Lord, one's away from him, and we get to choose.
Two choices. And let me just say that in some sense, there's never a place called hopelessness. But there's a temptation for that place. There's a temptation to stop believing. There's a temptation to be fear or to be anxious, to be overwhelmed by the enemy. The enemy would like to try to have you believe in overwhelmingness. I know that many of you have been going through a lot of, let's just say, very difficult times that has resulted in movements and shifting on the inside of you. And that's an essential part of what God is about in this time, is changing you. But understand that that's not the only thing that he's doing. While he's changing you, he's also impacting through you. So
be aware of all of that.
And also be aware that you have a choice. When it would appear that there's hopelessness on is due, you have a choice. You can see one of two ways. You can see the faithful way, or you can choose something else. Those are the options.
Blessing my precious.
Achoo.
I feel like we're in a season. I love you. Go see Courtney. I feel like we're in a season of record-breaking things. They can be good, they can be bad, but they're record-breaking. If you look, you can see very good record-breaking things, you know. The stock market broke records recently. Yay. But you can also look around and you can see, this looks to me like maybe the smallest congregation we've had almost ever. There's one, okay? There's things to look at that are record-breaking in positive ways and record-breaking in negative ways. In some ways, in our country, I think we're moving in some good directions. But you know what? We're very broken in some other ways, and we're extraordinarily divided. People almost can hardly talk each other's language. They're so far apart. It's really weird. Almost reminds you of the Tower of Babel, where the confusion of languages is such that they don't even know how to work together. I mean, it's pretty amazing separation of even, what does it mean when you say that word? Crazy. It's a record-breaking time. It's not going to stop, really, being a crazy record-breaking time. We're moving in a direction. Oh, there'll be ups and there'll be downs in this arena. But we're moving someplace. History is not a smooth, forever lasting thing. History is something that had a beginning and will have an end. And it's going somewhere. And it's going somewhere by the impetus and power and anointing of God. God will accomplish his purpose and his plan with respect to humankind. He will accomplish it. That's because he's God and he does things. Might as well understand he's going to get there. Part of the question and part of the whole deal with hope and hopelessness is, will you be with him in the process? Or to what degree will you be with him in the process? You get to decide. Either you're there with him or you're not. Those are the options. You get a chance to make the decision. This is probably one of the most-ish times that I've ever seen on the planet, or that the planet has seen. I think that we're going to progress further than this at some point. But it's a pretty crazy time that we're in. So what do we do about that? Where do we stand in this? Well, we look and we see what is observable in time. But we also have to look and see what is observable in eternity. You're up, girl.
Before you started talking.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot about revival lately. And to me, I was like, it doesn't seem like a revival to me. It seems like hard times. And God said it is, but it's a different kind of revival. You're not going to recognize it, but you need to take heart that it is indeed a revival.
Okay, that's a good word. Many times we look for the externalities to confirm the internalities, okay? The externals, we want them to confirm the internals. And you know what? If you look right, you'll find the ones. But you may not see what you expected to see based on thinking in the temporal ways of thinking. So here we are. I believe that God is doing a revival. He is revitalizing his people. He's moving his people. I've seen it. Several of you, I've watched you go through just intense, perhaps the most intense circumstances of your lives. Because God is shifting you. Is it any wonder that your lives looked upside down, or perhaps even now look upside down, when the intersection of time and eternity happened in your life? Is it any wonder that things seemed out of control and upside down and crazy? Not to me. It's not surprising to me. There's one other thing I want to say to you, and I'm just going to intervene or just almost interrupt my sermon to tell it to you about the vision of the church, of this church, CLF. One of the things that we do because of what God has decided about us is we do things, we interact with God, He does stuff in us, He changes us, and that in and of itself is a prophetic act. It's a prophetic act of God. He accomplishes something. He does it. And then we see it. We see ripples of it. Maybe, you know, in our own lives, in other people's worlds, across the church, we begin to see things. There's prophetic realities, i.e. things that happen, we could call them prophetic acts, but they're prophetic realities that induce an opening that enables a prophecy, that enables an intercession, that accomplishes a broader breakthrough. So there's a breakthrough, and we live in it, and it's hard. We get there, but it's hard. And then that breakthrough enables a prophecy, which enables an intercession, which enables a greater breakthrough. You can see that also throughout the whole scriptures. Many times people understand prophecies as occurring and reoccurring in many times. For example, there's a place where Isaiah says, "And a virgin shall conceive and will bring forth a son," right? Well, we all know that that's a messianic prophecy, right? But I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the context of that, the context of that is not messianic. That prophecy was about a time that was closer to Isaiah's time than hundreds of years later in Jesus. And it occurred then, and then it occurred again. Okay? And the reality is that certain things happen, certain things occur, and they break open something so that a prophecy can come forth, so that intercession can agree with that, so that the greater breakthrough can happen. And that's something that this church is called to do and does. It's just one of the anointings that God has placed on this church. That's just a beep. I just interrupted myself to bring you this public service announcement. Okay, so here we are in a very difficult sequence of times. We're in a place where there's an upside down, and it doesn't look good to us. It looks hard and difficult, and we're living through something, and we're maintaining. Hopefully, we maintain our hope, right? Because we only have two choices. We can decide to live in the hardness of our own heart. What was the wording, Mother? The stubbornness and evil hearts. Okay, we can follow our own plans. Or we can hope in the Lord and keep our eyes fixed on Him and keep being with Him. What does that look like? Well, Dad shared with you guys a few weeks back, we met with a couple of prophetic and pastoral connections that we have. And what they say to us, keep standing. Can I tell you why? Because that's what you do when you're a faithful person. That's what you do when you're in a difficult spot. You keep standing. That's what you do when everything looks really bad, but you know God's saying something that's really good. That's what you do, is you keep on standing. You keep on. You live on. You stay on. That's what you do. It's called faithfulness, and God works it in His people. Do you understand that it's an opportunity for you every time that hopelessness would like to provide you a good excuse for being stupid? It's an opportunity for faithfulness on your part. You know, when you recognize God's faithfulness, you can lean on it and become faithful like Him. And that's what He does. He transforms you by His own nature. One of the messages that the Lord gave me for us this morning has to do with this, standing and keep on standing. And the sense is just a little bit more. So let me just read it to you so that we can get through it as quickly as I can. Love. How much more would it take to really love? How much more love can I pour out? Can I tell you the answer to that? Just a little bit more. And that's the truth for you, and that's the truth for me. You can give just a little bit more. That's the truth. Joy. How much joy should I be creating? How much joy should I be experiencing? Want to know the answer? Just a little bit more. Okay? God has just a little bit more for you. Peace. How much peace should I expect? How much peace should I release? How much peace should I demand into places where God has called me to demand it? How much? Just a little bit more.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack. Patience. How much longer can I be patient? Just a little bit more. It never requires you. Do you know that you never have to be patient for 10 hours? You only have to be patient for one moment at a time. Did you hear that? You only have to be patient for one moment, the one you're in. Yeah, maybe you'll stack, 10 hours worth of moments together and be patient for 10 hours. But you never have to be patient for 10 hours at a time. You only be patient for a moment. You never have to be faithful for 1,000 years. Just one moment at a time, you be faithful. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have the moment that you're given. You have nothing else. And in that moment, you can see the Lord is gracious. His mercies are new. His faithfulness is everlasting. And I can access that just a little bit more. Kindness. How much more kind can I even be? Just a bit more. Goodness. How much more goodness can I expect and release and declare? Just a bit more. Gentleness, how much gentle grace is God releasing through me right now? Just a bit more. Faithfulness, how much longer? How much more? How much more can I endure? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit. That's all you got to do. Just a little bit more. And self-control, how much stronger do I need to be despite my weakness? Just a little bit. How much longer do I have to be in self-control despite my waiting? Just a little bit more. Here's the truth. We need to live and keep on living. We need to stay. And we keep on. It's called faithfulness. It's the opportunity that we have. We are in an opportune moment when things are difficult. I wanted to show you a piece of a picture. As long as you live, God will not give you nothing to do. He has a purpose in your times. You know, he's eager, and he'll be delighted when he sees you and you see him face to face. When you see him face to face, he's going to like that. Want to know why? He'll see all of the that which has been worked through, all of the treasure accumulated by faithful living. He is eager to judge that into your life. He is delighted. He wants to bless you with that. He's eager. So if there's a moment in your life that you still live and you're waiting for that moment where he says, all right, it's time to come home. If you're still waiting for that moment, then he has treasure for you to earn in that moment. He has treasure for you to acquire through him in that time. Because he's eager. He's eager. So there won't be a time when you don't have something that you're about. There won't be a time where there's more, not another revelation for you. Another transformation for you. A shift for you. There won't be a time when you shouldn't be feeling the releasing the gratitude for his goodness being made real inside of you. There won't be a time when you have nothing to be praying, no intercession for you. There won't be a time when when warfares will be completely all gone, and you're sitting around, you know, twiddling your thumbs and waiting for death or something. There won't be a time that he's not providing you with opportunity and moving you on. Now, the opportunity could be that he's providing you to rest and to just receive from him. That's true. There will be times like that. But that will precede the time that you get to exercise that. And he'll let you release that and capitalize on what he has put into you. I want you to renew your vision and recognize that you are called to keep on. You're called to hear and be changed. Be grateful for that. To pray it. To war over it. To see it accomplished, and to repeat the whole process. That's what we do. That's who we are. When he's ready for you to be done, you'll know. It won't be a pink slip. Right? It won't fire you. He'll grab you and bring you to himself. And until that time, let me just say something. You're moving. You're shifting. You're changing. You're receiving. You're praying. You're warring. You're accomplishing, you're releasing for the glory of God. You're repeating that whole process. This is who you are. This is who we are. Oh yeah, there's rest in there. Why? Because he has time for you to rest. Why? Because he knows you need it. Because he knows that those are valuable times for you to be refreshed. Jill was refreshed yesterday, she told me. A good time to just draw in some refreshing, you know, empowering, ready to go stuff. That's good, but it's part of a process. It's rest so that rest, okay? And it keeps on going, okay? It doesn't stop. Let me say to you that when we recognize that we're in this process where God is continuously promoting us so that he can leverage us, so that he can promote us, we can feel tired about that, and sometimes I do. But we only have two options. We have the options of standing and staying and being faithful, being obedient, recognizing his faithfulness and leveraging it, or stubborn and wicked heart, or whatever it was that scripture said from Mom. Stubbornness of his evil heart, our own plans. Let me say to you, in your weakness, you are being empowered. This is something, one of the earliest things the Lord told me to speak to you today. Sent this to Dad, I think, yesterday morning. In weakness, you are being empowered. In disappointment, you are being promoted. in humiliation, you are being exalted. You're being prepped. You're being empowered to be who you are called to be. You're being empowered to become who you are to become. You're being empowered to be faithful. You're being empowered to be eternal. Don't miss your opportunity to be empowered. Did you know that the foolishness of God is wiser than men? And the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's why, in part, that there's always an upside down. In your life, you see this, it's obvious. And what's not obvious is the upside down that's real. Today, we were called to yield to the change, even if it means changing how you thought in the past. Let go of what you thought you knew. Let me bring you through and finish the process. There's new available to you, but it's through death. It's through difficulty. And it's for glory. And if you'll see it, it's for eternal treasure, eternal reward, eternal glory of the Father. That's where we are. So keep on standing. Be faithful. Expect that we're going to go through these processes. He's going to strengthen us through the process and release more. Each time we'll go higher, be able to release more. You know, in my own personal life, I've watched the Lord, when I stand back and look at my history, I watch the Lord take me from difficulty to difficulty and from high point to high point in the same breath and in the same moment. In the process, He's given me tools. He's doing the same for you. He's given you tools, spiritual tools, weapons of warfare, not carnal, silly things, but eternal, powerful, transcendent weapons that you know how to use and that you can access at His command. He's shifting us. He's changing us. I'm not the same person I once was. Hallelujah. I expect that I won't be the same person I am now. Hallelujah. Each junction, He's taken each of us to wherever we're willing to let Him take us. You know, we can stop the process. There is no hope. I will choose my own plans out of the wickedness of my own evil heart or stubbornness of my own evil heart, right? We can stop Him. We can circumvent Him. He'll be gracious. His mercies are new. But the reason He gives you what He gives you when He gives it to you is because that's the ultimate and optimal time for you to get it. So that you can leverage that and move to the next spot. You don't do that, well, you know, He's merciful. But keep on. Want to know why? Because He's taking you on a trajectory. He means it. He's intentional about this. He's good to you in this. He's optimally good to you in this. There isn't a better way for you than this. Every other path is not as good. And so He gives you the path. He calls you to stand. He calls you to be in that spot. He calls you to remain faithful. Because that's what is best for you. Yeah. That's the call of the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Can you say, be faithful? To God. You can. Be faithful. She got that much out. I bless you guys. Father, I thank you for these, your faithful people. Your gracious and faithful people. I bless them, Lord, as they pursue you, as they open their eyes to renewed vision, as they open their lives and heart to refreshed vision, as they open their heart to hope, I bless them. I speak healing into their spirits. I speak healing into their minds and wills and emotions. I speak healing into their bodies. I just declare a wave of healing into them in Jesus' name. And Lord, as they open themselves up to you and your purposes, I thank you, Lord, that you have power to do and to accomplish, yes, in them, but also through them, for the glory of the Lord and for the salvations of many. I release grace into them. I release grace through them in Jesus' name. I declare that there's a release in Jesus' name of grace for salvation and grace for healing, grace for the power gifts. I release it in the name of Jesus. I declare over you a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God so that you would receive inspiration and life for yourself, that you would receive inspiration and life for others, that you would pour it out and you would pour it out. Out of your belly shall come rivers of living water. I declare it over you because the Spirit of God is upon you and He has anointed you to proclaim the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release healing, to release freedom. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on your people. Thank you, Lord, for your high call. Thank you, Lord, that not only do you want us to do it for our good and for the good of those around us, but that you'll make waves with us and that those waves will go out and impact others. I declare that forward for these your people, that they would make waves and those waves would make waves. Further and further and further. In Jesus' name. I'll just give you a quick physics lesson. Quick physics lesson.
You take a drop of water and you drip it into a still pool of water, what you see is a ring, right?
And the reason for that is that when this little piece of water wiggles, it makes the one next to it wiggle. And so all the ones around it wiggle. And if you add all those ones around it to the ones next, each one of those also causes all of its circular things to wiggle. And that just begins to create this outward going.
In physics, one of the difficulties is that
the amount of energy that's in that initial drop has to get spread out over an ever-expanding ring. And so if, you know, the ocean were still and somebody, you know, dropped a drop in, like, say, Hawaii, okay, but by the time it got to California, it'd be really small and hard to see. But there's a wind. And the wind is the Spirit of God. And the wind means that there doesn't have to be a conservation of energy here, because the energy comes by the promotion of the Spirit. And the Spirit keeps the thing going, okay? And so if indeed Pat drops a drop, and Pat wiggles a little bit, and it begins to expand. And then as Pat blows the Spirit of God in intercession over that which she has begun, there doesn't need to be a decay in the amplitude of that wave. There can be, in fact, an increase in the amplitude as it goes. You see, we are not those that operate under a net zero principle, okay? We're not here to operate under net zero. As much as I give you, you give back, and you have that much to give or whatever. Okay, that is not our principle. We are those that are sourced outside of time and outside of space such that the amplitude continues to increase. There's no need for it to decrease. I want to encourage you to have that kind of vision for the impact of your life, and therefore the impact of those you impact, and therefore of the impact of those you impacts. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The truth is that the ever-increasing radius does not have to decrease the impact, because the Spirit of God lives in you. So this is a physics lesson / eternity lesson. You don't need Two, you don't need to expect less. You can expect more, even as it goes out in the rings. Do you have a comment?
Even before you started, talking about refreshing, the Lord was just over and over in my mind, we need refreshing. We need to come forward, and we need to do this as a congregation, individually. And I believe that there's a place for this in this ministry, is for people that can come forward, and maybe a calling for all of us to join together in a refreshing that we need within our minds, our bodies, our souls. I just feel like the Lord is placing this on my heart to share with you this morning.
Let's respond to that. Obviously, people don't have to respond, but if you would respond, I'd like you to stand, and I'd like us to even kind of like coalesce into like groups or something like that. I want us to hold hands and connect. But what I'd like is to release a refreshing and a renewal of vision, and just an encouragement and an empowerment by the Lord. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for the one that you have made out of us. I thank you for the faithfulness and the grace that you have encompassed us with. I pray your blessing on each of these your people. I pour out refreshment, waves of refreshment into encouragement, joy, life, just an upwelling of your life in Jesus' name. I declare wholeness for each of us as we receive your refreshing. Lord, I pray a release over us all of your renewed vision, new vision, new clarity, new life. In Jesus' name, I bless these, your precious ones. Pour into them, I pray, your very spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to free you all, and I want you to be aware that God has freedom for you. Let me just say also, and I declare freedom over you. I want to say also that, you know, the during worship, during the sermon, after church, it doesn't matter. The place is for you. The altar is a wonderful place. You know, if you notice, which you probably don't, but every once in a while, I access the altar myself during worship. And you know what? Be free, and receive from the Lord in every way that is available to you. I bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Grace to you all.